Welcome to the Jung Depth Psychology Podcast. We're on episode one today. It's a pleasure to have you on board. We're going to be going deep in this podcast. It's going to be a long journey. Strap up. If you want to know about Carl Jung, transformation, depth psychology, the shadow, people talk about shadow work. This is the place to be. If you want to know what's behind Jung's words, what's behind the individuation process, what's real, balancing the thinking and the feeling, just being honest, you're at the right place. This is about transformation. This is about individuation. But it's also about just having that small little pickup we need, you know, in this very one-sided, modern, split world. There really isn't much consciousness out there. You can find it now with the internet. You look for it, but things are set up to make it hard. And I want this podcast to be that little light of consciousness for you. Into the shadow, or just even forward moving. Have a nice little voice in your ear when you get up, go on your walk, when you go to work, when you just want that little touch of consciousness, when you want some Jung, when you want Jung and his beautiful words, his beautiful psychology, his wisdom. And when you want that, that's what this podcast is going to be. Follow, subscribe, strap up, and let's individuate, baby. Let's do it. Now, for the first five episodes, I originally recorded them as videos with not with the mic I'm using now. So just be aware, for the first five episodes, I'll do an intro, and then it's going to cut to what was originally a YouTube video. So don't mind that. You'll just notice in the first five episodes, there's going to be a change in the mic sound. It's still a professional sound, but just letting you know what's going on. So this is just an intro, but from episode six onwards, it's they're the same. So there'll be a YouTube version. You can just, there'll be a podcast list, and otherwise on all other platforms, it'll just be the audio. Let's get into it. The first episode is about Nietzsche and Jung. I've got a very rare Nietzsche book. I couldn't find a copy on the internet, but I was just strolling in Helsinki doing my thing. You know what I mean? Strolling around in the world, going to some secondhand bookshops, and I always like to, you know, see if I can get some gold, to use a Jungian term. If I can find some gold, can I find the hard-attained treasure? And on this day, I did. I found this very rare Nietzsche book written by Abraham Wolf, and it consists of some lectures he gave in 1915 in London, and it's straight fire, all right? And you'll see from the podcast, even just the first, before the book begins on page one, he pulls this quote out that blew my mind. So, and I remember reading it going, it's not even page one, and he's dropping bombs like this. He's dropping Nietzsche quotes like this. I thought, this is going to be incredible. And it was. So in episode one, it's about, are you living a meaningful life? And the reason that's the theme is because Nietzsche talks about living a grand life beyond the personal. And we're going to get into the difference between, or the contrasts with, Nietzsche and Jung, the unconscious mind and the conscious mind. Nietzsche was a very unconscious person in the sense of he got lost in the unconscious. And Jung would call that personality number two. That's a personality of the depths, creative. And Jung is about balancing personality number one and personality number two. So there's an interesting part of that. Dilemma. And At one point, I misstated something. I said Nietzsche feared Nietzsche. That's wrong. What I mean, it was a slip of the tongue. What I meant to say is Jung feared Nietzsche. So just be aware of that in the audio only version. And that's because I said that because Jung, he was quoted in the, he's got a book on the dream seminars he had. He held a bunch of dream seminars, and there's a big book on that. And in that book, it mentions that Jung had his appetite whet to read Nietzsche, but that he feared he was like him. And the importance of that is if you fear that you're like someone, that's a big deal. And I believe it's that fear of that personality number two of Nietzsche and getting lost in that. If you don't know what I mean by personality number one and personality number two, I did give a bit of a breakdown. But if you want to know more about that, Jung breaks that down in Memories, Dreams, Reflections. He's a biography. And it's a good thing to have an understanding of. It gets you seeing the difference between the more the irrational and irrational and, you know, the conscious and the unconscious. That's a good introduction to this episode. So right now it's going to cut to the audio of the original video, and I hope you enjoy it. And with this beauty of a book, hopefully you can see it there. It's The Philosophy of Nietzsche by Abraham Wolfe. And I found it purely by chance. I was walking in Helsinki, and I went to this secondhand bookshop, and I just couldn't get my eyes off this book. And it was a little pricey for the size, but as I kept reading it, I thought, I don't have time to read at the moment. I've got so many Jung materials to read. I thought, that's got to help me. And thank God I got it. I'm going to begin with a quote from the start of the book. So before we even get to page one, there's a really big quote there, relevant for individuation. And then I'm going to get into what the YouTube title of the video is. And that's really about war, how that's relevant to Jung and depth psychology, Nietzsche's approach, and really the shadow, the conflict of opposites, and how if the one thing is one-sided in the conscious mind, so for example, you have a one-sidedness that you're aware of, or where you focus your life, that could be work, career, the opposite comes into the unconscious, and there is a conflict. There's really a war going on between the conscious and the unconscious mind. And that's exactly what individuation is and depth psychology. It's this dance, this war, really. Nietzsche's a bit more aggressive with his terms, but Jung talks about war a lot as well. So it all ties in. And I'll start with this first quote, which is, in future, let no man... I'll correct that. In future, let no one concern himself about me, but only about the things... I'll correct that. But only about the things for which I lived. Now, that's a pretty heavy way to start off the lecture series this gentleman did in 1915. He's summarizing really the criticism of Nietzsche that was leveled by Jung, which was, look at his personal life as opposed to his philosophy. Well, Nietzsche's already addressed that criticism while he's alive, and it could be his unconscious mind pushing that agenda forward. But he's saying, don't look at me, the person. Look at what I lived for. What was I about? The principles, the ideas, the purpose. And that's really individuation in a nutshell. Getting into the collective, going beyond yourself. getting that meaning and that symbolic life, that almost religious life, outside of the personal, what's in it for me? And that's what Nietzsche's really saying in that quote. I think it's powerful, and it's one to think about. You know, what is your life about? What is your, other than the humdrum, the usual, paying the bills, the responsibilities, we have to have a foot in that earth. Because you've got the unconscious, then you've got the real world, the inner world and the outer world. If you're in one of those exclusively, there's a problem. And that links back with the one-sidedness is always an issue when it comes to Jungian psychology. And the union of opposites in the middle, which is alchemy as well. But you can't be in one side if you're wanting to individuate and have balance. So how can we get that balance? How can we have Nietzsche in a way which is saying, look at my principles? He's saying, look at my principles, not my personal life. And really, Jung's psychology is about, yeah, have those principles, but they have to happen in the real world. It's uniting that depth that Nietzsche went into his unconscious to give us this great work. I mean, I'm reading it over 100 years later. I'm making a video about it, and the guy blows my mind with just one sentence. So he's pulling something out from that well of authenticity. But if we're going to individuate, we have to have a foot in the real world. And yeah, I guess that's where you get that conflict between Jung being so influenced by Nietzsche, clearly, as you'll see. But also, yeah, there's a bit of a conflict. It's that classic personality one, personality number two. And personality number two is the unconscious side. Jung talks about this in Memories, Dreams, Reflections. And personality number one is that personality that's in the real world, paying the bills, has the wife, the kids, the job, the patience, the responsibility, patience as in clients that Jung would see. But then he had the inner world that we're aware of. And there was a real conflict between that for Jung, and it caused him a lot of suffering. And, you know, Peter Kingsley talks about this, and he says that, it was almost Jungians were trying to hide this side of Jung. But, I mean, Jung's just a person, so are we, and everyone has this conflict. So it's not that easy, but it is. That's a powerful quote. Now, let's get into the business of today's video. War. Now, here we go. So, Nietzsche says, the man who has renounced war has renounced a grand life. Okay. Now, the first question is, what is he talking about? Does he mean like a real war? What's going on? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Well, we'll go to my notes in the side here, because I distill, when I'm going through these texts, I distill the key points. It's quite hard to do. And it's very slow reading as a result. But let's go to that first. What have I written here? War. A war of ideas. Opposition to oppressive conventions. At war with oneself. So from the text, and I'll read you some of those passages that are relevant. That's what Nietzsche's getting at, a war of ideas. So those ideas in your head, when you're in the individuation process or therapy, whatever you're doing, you're trying to find the self, the authenticity. That is a war of ideas. Opposition to oppressive conventions. Oppressive conventions, that can be the family dynamic, the family of origin, the attachment figures. That can be society, the expectation, the reality of the spirit of the times. As Jung said, we're all affected by the spirit of the times to some degree. No one escapes that one. It's just you're living in the era you are in. There's no way around it. So that has an impact. Again, we have to pay the bills. We have to have personality number one. We have to have a foot on the earth. We can't even shoot this video without having a foot on the earth. I wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't have been able to buy this book if I walked in and said, look, this is a great book. I'm really into this stuff. I want to even make a video about it. The lady would have politely said, that's great. You can't buy it. That's personality number one, responsibility. The unconscious is a different ball game. But you have to be in both. And that again goes into Jung's criticism of Nietzsche, which I think is a bit harsh. We'll get into that in another video. But Jung's usually right, unfortunately. I'm a bit of a Nietzsche apologist or fan. I'm so impressed by his work that I really appreciate. And I relate to that. Getting lost in the unconscious, although it can be neurotic and not good, you know, for relationships, life, it can be fun and it can be exciting. So I appreciate his dedication to that. And Jung did as well, clearly. So I've gone on a bit of a tangent there, but it's relevant. Yeah, at war with oneself, that sums it up, individuation. And really, neuroses, which is when you've got the split, being neurotic, having a split between the conscious and the unconscious mind. That's at war with oneself. The unconscious and the conscious are at war. I'm using the word war a bit liberally here just to make the link to Nietzsche and Jung. It's a therapeutic process, but there are clashes. So Nietzsche was not a soldier. He was a thinker. He was influenced and loved Heraclitus, and the ancient Greek philosophers influenced him. There's a greater meaning to war. It's not literal. Just war, although he addresses that too. Now let's read directly from the lectures and some of Nietzsche's own words. The man who has renounced war has renounced a grand life. Now we make the link. So the man who has, or woman, we have the gendered language, please excuse it, just makes life easier sometimes. And I have to quote accurately the texts. But I receive the complaints on my Instagram page about this, and I sympathize with it. The man who has renounced war, so has renounced the war within the conflict of life, ideas, individuation, a meaningful life, linking back to the first quote, a life that is not about just the personal, but what you live for beyond that. Greater, grand, grand in that sense, not in a ego-inflated sense or grandiose or narcissistic sense. The person who renounces that war has renounced a grand life, and that goes with Jung's quotes that, you know, people, one of the biggest issues people have is that they live lives that are too small for their potential, for their purpose, that they wear shoes that they don't step into big enough shoes of their capability. Well, that's because of fear. It's normal to have fear. That's going to get into bravery and courage, which I'm going to address later in this video. Fear on the one end. bravery, courage, opposites. You see, we're always dealing in opposites with depth psychology. So Nietzsche So Abraham Wolf says, to Nietzsche, the term war did not primarily suggest a battlefield, but something quite different. Now we're getting into the action of this. And now I'm going to quote directly. In any case, it is safe to assert that as a general rule, when Nietzsche speaks of war, he means the interplay of cosmic forces, or the struggle of ideas, or opposition to oppressive conventions, or the struggle with one's own passions and impulses to secure self-mastery. Individuation in a nutshell. I don't need to clarify that. I won't insult your intelligence. Then he mentions, this is interesting. He mentions that Nietzsche discusses an instinct. Instinct. Remember, when we're using the terms instinct, Jung, that's a big part of intuition, animal nature, that Jung talks about a lot. So if he's read Nietzsche and this is coming up, that's influencing him. This is a fact. When you read the stuff, it makes sense. It jumps out. And yeah, there is an energy in man, in woman, in animal nature for war, for something, you know, not just sitting straight, doing nothing in the office 9 to 5 your whole life, and that or 9 to 9, and you see that person's drained of energy. There has to be something coming out of the person. And again, that gets pushed into the unconscious if it's not addressed, the instinct, the desire to do something, bravery, which is what it leads into. So Nietzsche says, Abraham Wolf says, that Nietzsche fully realized that there are enough or more than enough opportunities for the exercise of courage in the arts and pursuits of peace. And this is where it's interesting. Nietzsche rather suspected that an unconscious shirking or sort of ignoring of their usual work in peacetime has something to do with the enthusiasm of civilians when war breaks out. So Nietzsche's getting through unconscious drives, things being pushed into the unconscious. So, you know, they're working in peacetime, and then when war breaks out, all that repressed instinct comes out. All that conflict that people aren't dealing with, whether it's individuation or finding some way to do something even brave, that gets pushed down, repressed. So I'll go to my notes here. Bravery or courage can be consciously expressed in the arts and pursuing of peace. Okay, that makes sense. So there's ways you can use your bravery in your real life. It doesn't have to be through war. But when left, it falls into the unconscious. Yes. And now we're getting into shadow and opposites. So when you repress that thing, when you push it, deny it, you don't exercise it, you're not in the middle, it's going to fall into the shadow, it's going to fall into an opposite one-sidedness into the unconscious, and it's going to be bubbling there. And although you're consciously pushing your life in one direction, the one that your ego consciousness wants, that unconscious is going to be trying to express itself. That is a war, this back and forth. And when you individuate, you start becoming aware of that. You do analysis. You do therapy.
you get healed, you deal with traumas. This is marrying up together. But when you're not, it's just getting worse. And that's why, you know, there's obsession, distraction, extreme exercise routines, eating, drinking, all sorts of things, you know, one-sidedly doing the career, doing the work. It all falls into that. And yeah, it goes to, Jung gives the example in Collected Work 7 of this opposites, and this is what's great, it's linking to nature directly. The opposites falling into the unconscious with a moral, you've got the moral person who lives consciously, identifies as a moral person, only does moral things, does no wrong. That opposite, Jung says, is going to be polarized in the unconscious and operating an immoral side because it's not balanced. Same for the person seen as sinful, the criminal. Jung says, there's actually a moral side in the unconscious pushing forward. And I've experienced that personally with dealing with people that may be seen as criminals or undesirable, being actually quite kind and generous. More so than some people that portrayed a conscious persona and image of morality, they were actually quite immoral. They were greedy. And I found sometimes people that consciously had an identification or perception of being the opposite were actually quite honest and had their morality in their own way. So never judge a book by its cover, as they say. That pretty much sums it up. This is an incredible book. I'm going to be going through it more and more. What does that leave me with? I want to put this down. There's my buddy Nietzsche there. Great, love that cover. And then we've got Jung on the other hand. So what is this, the devil and the angel? I don't know. Maybe we need to go in the middle. We need to literally unite them, which I like. I like that more. Because I'll get into it in another video, but I do feel Nietzsche had some fear. He did admit that he was fearful of Nietzsche, that he would be like him. In the Dream Seminars book, he admits that his appetite was whet to read Nietzsche, but he was afraid he was like him. And that's a big statement. So he's human. So that fear is going to play into how he approaches him, which might be why Jung may have wanted to. I mean, we can't know this, but I'm just going for it. He may have wanted to see something in Nietzsche. He may have wanted to squash personality number two because it causes problems in life. It makes life hard, but you can't individuate without it. And Jung was quite a responsible, extremely productive man. It's ridiculous, the amount of production. And yeah, if there's a fear there, there's already a bit of a problem with how you're going to be viewing this gentleman here. It's going to be problematic. On some level, we can't prove any of this, but this is my instinct, my feeling, my own fears. So it could be a projection from me. But you know, my own fear of getting lost in personality number two in the unconscious. I have that fear as well. And when I hear Nietzsche's story, you know, he's so smart and some of the most powerful words I've read. And he really got lost in that whirlpool. So you've got to be careful of that. So we all bring maybe a fear to this gentleman on my left. But the bigger picture is there are links between Nietzsche and Jung. They're really pronounced. He's an important influence. He's a little attacked by Jung, perhaps justifiably so. But there's a lot to learn from Nietzsche. There's a lot of reference of the unconscious and opposites. meaning, individuation, purpose. He just sometimes overshoots it, maybe. It might be it. But it's fun, you know, to read. And then what can you take away from this? What did I take away from this? Because we're both one and the same, really. We're both in the journey. What do you live for? So what can we learn from Nietzsche? Beyond the personal, what have you lived for? What is happening beyond your personal needs? What contribution do you have for the collective? What meaning? What is, these sort of things bring that symbolic life. So if you look at your own life, beyond paying the bills, how are you satisfying something greater, connecting with the collective, which also connects to yourself? It's circular. Because, and then we're getting into a circle, the self. See? It all links. I didn't even plan that one. But yeah, it's all circular. So how are you connecting to the collective, bringing meaning, and then that links into the job you do? Because if you can marry up a vocation that contributes to the collective with paying the bills, that's a middle ground. It's not one or the other, you know? Normally people get lost in the starving artist, lost in the corporate world or the money-making world. Well, that's unfortunately kind of how our modern society is set up. It's split. That's why it's sick. And we have to try bridge it, but we have to live within it. We have to bridge the unconscious with the conscious. So that's really where we're at.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Subscribe to the podcast, leave a positive review, jump on the Instagram, and listen to the next episode, because we're starting to get deeper and deeper into Jungian psychology. Have a great day.